We've been exploring the book of Colossians in the Bible for some time now. And it's interesting just to think about it's interesting to think about some comparisons between what we're seeing in Colossians and what we're experiencing here with COVID-19, because no, we don't like socially isolating. We don't like meeting online. There's great debates about the efficiency of various strategies, the various vaccines at the moment, and we just don't like this stuff. And yet here it is, we do it. We do it because that is the best strategy we've got. And can I suggest that's what we see going on here in Colossians? When, yes, the Apostle Paul talks about a very insidious and persistent assault on our humanity, the ever-present threat of spiritual powers. He calls them the dominion of darkness, the hollow and deceptive philosophy, the elemental spiritual forces, the powers and authorities. And unlike our present situations where, yes, as I said, the debates rage about the safety and effectiveness of the various strategies to combat COVID-19, the Apostle Paul has no uncertainty about God's remedy to combat these spiritual powers. Listen to God's word, to what we have already heard in Colossians. He, God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is before all things. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Yes, there is no uncertainty. There is no ambiguity. God's word is certain. Jesus, the eternal creator God, the Lord of all creation, has triumphed over all the spiritual powers. And we who believe in Jesus share in his victory. It is safe and effective. And it's on this knowledge we take our stand against the spiritual powers. Yes, knowledge is power. It is the truth that sets you free. Interestingly, the Bible strategy for combating spiritual powers not only focuses on knowledge, on knowing the truth, it also emphasizes living the truth. And that is where the next section of Colossians takes us. Living the truth as a strategy for combating spiritual powers. As we explore this, I want you to hold on to two thoughts, two pictures of how living the truth combats spiritual powers. The first idea is of pushing back the darkness. The Bible paints the picture of this world having been invaded by spiritual forces and being held captive in their darkness. But the coming of Jesus marked a definitive shift. Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world. Light conquers darkness. It pushes the darkness away, if you will. And so when we, the followers of Jesus, live in the truth, we are literally pushing back the darkness. We are declaring to this dark world, no, I do not accept this as normal. This is not how it's supposed to be. The light has come. The second picture is of a reclaimed vision of humanity. Now, as human beings created in the image of God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And from God's perspective, us people, his creation, we are very good. And we see glimpses of this all the time. Like, take Emma McKeon, for example. She has 11, yes, 11 Olympic medals. She is the most decorated Australian Olympic athlete of all time. She won 7 of those Olympic medals at this Tokyo Games. And those 7 medals, that record is the equal most medals at one games by any woman in any sport in Olympic history. When we get glimpses like this of what it means to be a human being, all we can do is stand in awe. Yes, fearfully and wonderfully made. Very good. But as we all know from experience and the message of the Bible, this picture of humanity is not the full story. Emma McKeon, for example, will probably go down in history as the woman who swore in a live TV interview. Yes, we have sinned. We have rebelled against God. We have done wrong things. Yes, God's very good creation has been defaced by the spiritual powers. But Jesus is the giver of new life. He has come to restore all things. Through him, it is possible to be new creations. And so, when we, the followers of Jesus, live in the truth, we are literally wiping away the spiritual powers defacing. We are showing to the world a reclaimed vision of humanity. We are declaring that we do not accept that old defaced humanity as normal. That's not how it's supposed to be. There is new life in Jesus. So keeping these two pictures in mind, let's explore what it looks like to live in the truth. Paul begins by getting us to look at our inner life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. In this portion of scripture, we are introduced to a basic principle of life. What we do is the product of what we want, our desires, what we want, and what we think. If we're going to talk about how we live, our inner life, our desires and thinking have to be the starting point. I mean, what is it you want? What do you desire for your life? Of all the things that we could possibly desire, we need to take seriously this word from God: set your hearts on things above. To set your heart is to desire, to seek after, to pursue. As a young person, I can remember desiring, wanting a few things. I wanted to travel the world surfing at every great beach in the world. I wanted a Karmann gear. And if you don't know what that is, look it up after, later. I wanted a Karmann gear. I wanted to be able to play guitar like Jimi Hendrix. But when I encountered Jesus, all those desires faded into the background. My whole life was refocused. I wanted Jesus above all else. And let me say, that's not uncommon. We see it all the time throughout the Bible. Like, take Joseph in the Old Testament, for example. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. He ends up a slave in Egypt, living and working in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife comes on to him, this attractive young man. And how does Joseph respond? He pushes her away, saying, "How could I do such a thing and sin against God?" Or what about Joshua? Here at the end of his life, he gathers the whole tribe of Israel, and listen to what he says to them. "Choose for yourselves whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Or the psalmist, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Or what about Daniel, taken into captivity in Babylon? We read of him, he resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. What do you want? Jesus captured this thought on the Sermon on the Mount when he spoke of seeking first the kingdom and God's righteousness. What do we seek first in our lives? Yes, set your hearts on things above. And what about what you think? What occupies your mind? Yes, of course, there are a multitude of things we need to think about in any given day. But what is the thought that shapes, that guards, that gives direction to everything else in your life? Paul says, set your minds on things above. The language here paints the picture of a traveler looking at his compass to determine which direction he takes. Last March, we were on holidays and we were in southwest Victoria. And when it was announced that in 3 days, the Queensland border was going to close, having heard that announcement, we turned our car north. And everything else for the next couple of days focused on this one thought: getting across the border before it closed. Friends, as people living in the light, our compass setting needs to be things above, to be God himself. What we need to appreciate is that both these instructions are imperatives. They are not suggestions, they are authoritative commands. And they are something we need to be doing all the time. Yes, 24/7. These are choices we all individually need to make. And yes, as with any choice, there are risks. But notice how God's word assures us choosing Jesus as our heart's desire and as the compass for our minds is the safest thing we can possibly do. Notice with me, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Through the cross, through the death, his death and resurrection, Jesus has triumphed over all things, over all the spiritual powers. And by being seated at the right hand of God, he's in the place of supreme authority. We've seen this previously, haven't we, in Colossians? Jesus has defeated the works of the devil. This is not a discussion point. It is a statement of fact. He reigns. Yes, Jesus is Lord. And we note also that Jesus will appear. Paul speaks of when Christ appears. He is coming again. Indeed, Jesus will come to earth and he will reign. The King will reign supreme on this earth. Heaven and earth, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of earth will be melded together in Christ Jesus. And indeed, in that moment in time, the spiritual powers' influence on the earth will absolutely be destroyed, and all things will be restored in Christ. Here is the great declaration, the message of the Bible in essence. But notice also where we fit into this. You who have believed in Jesus, you and I who are the followers of Jesus, you have been raised with Christ. Jesus did not simply in and of himself rise from the dead. We have been raised with him above and beyond all powers. That is our current reality. We have been raised with Christ. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I love this language. Some commentators suggest that Paul is tapped into the language of the Psalms and the language of Isaiah here, and the idea that we are hidden with God. I mean, think of what we've been talking about in previous weeks, of this notion of the opposition, the reality of the opposition of spiritual forces in Colossae, the reality of the opposition of spiritual forces in our own world. Where do we sit in the middle of all this? Hidden with Christ in God. I love the imagery of hiding behind a rock, just looking out, but hidden in a place of protection. When Jesus comes again, we're reminded that he is our life. Yes, we have been given new life in Christ. We have entered into resurrection life, into eternal life. Eternal life is not simply something that happens in the future. It's a reality that we are participating in now that will reach its climax when Jesus comes again. I love the way the Apostle John talks about when speaking of the coming of Jesus, and he says, look, we don't know what we'll be like. We don't have to speculate about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes again for us, because the fact of the matter is God's word says we don't know what it will be like. John goes on and says, but we will be like him. That's whatever that means. whatever that looks like. He is the giver of life. That's who Jesus is. He has defeated sin and death. And we share in that life with him. And yes, we will appear with him in glory. We have an assurance. We have a life beyond this physical existence. We have entered into eternal life that is not bound by this physical existence, this time-bound existence. We will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we need to grasp here in God's word is that not only has Jesus triumphed in and of himself, but we share in his victory. It's like he's won the gold medal at the Olympics, and he's standing on the podium. He's been given his gold medal. He's holding it, and he says, "Come here, Kevin. Come here. Come here. Come here. Get on the podium with me. This is ours. We're sharing this together. We have won the gold medal. Not because we compete. Not because we could even dream of doing it. But Christ did it. And he has shared it with us. We are in Christ, as the scriptures say, and Christ is in us. Yes, stand in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 12, when he talked about, very directly, about spiritual powers. Having done all, stand. Stand in Christ. Stand in him. So let me ask you again, what do you want? What are you thinking? Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above.